The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The kidnapping of Gina Herity in Haiti has garnered international attention in recent days. However, American aid worker Jeff Fraser, who was kidnapped in Haiti in 2023, claims this was a misstep that may work against Herity. He instead recommends a secretive approach to any negotiation, and he joins us now. Jeff, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Can you explain the situation that you found yourself in when you were kidnapped?
Sure. I was on a food distribution mission in 2023. We moved from Port-au-Prince to the south, Jacmel, with about 250,000 pounds of food. And in order to do that, you have to go through gang territory. They control the four major corridors in and out of Port-au-Prince.
Now, had you made that journey before?
I had, yeah, many times. And we had made an arrangement with that gang to go through, which we did, successfully completed our food distribution mission. But on the way back, somehow the calculus had changed in the minds of the gangs and they picked us up.
Now, what was their ambition? Was it to extract money?
Absolutely, yeah. No, they essentially look at any sort of opportunity, like, unfortunately, Miss Herity, as an ATM machine, right? They certainly knew where she was for a long time and knew if they ran out of cash, she was over there doing her good work at the orphanage, and they would just go grab her, which clearly that calculus ended up not in her favor.
Now, tell me who they demanded money from in your case. Was it the U.S. government? Was it the charity you founded? Or what was it?
They don't really discriminate or discern. These are very simple gangs. They don't understand American systems. They don't understand governments. They don't even understand banks. Like you might find humor in the fact that I had my cell phone there with my bank app on the phone, and they never once opened that app while I was there. You know, they don't really get that. They just make their demands. They make ridiculous demands and wait for the cash to show up. It's a pretty simple equation for them.
Now, what did they do with you for the period you were in captivity?
Well, you've got to imagine what they're trying to achieve. They just want the cash to show up, and so they just apply pressure in the ways that they know how to do. And so that means making you uncomfortable, right? Whether it be through terror or torture or sending videos home to your family or making phone calls with them to apply pressure, and that just escalates as you get closer to what is hopefully a happy ending.
Now, you were in captivity for, what, 43 days, which is a hell of a long time. What shape were you in when you finally were released?
Well, not good. I had lost about 50 pounds and, you know, was bruised up pretty good. But most of it was on the inside, right? Lots of PTSD. I mean, I was a mess. You know, I think if you spoke to me on the day of my release, before I was released, I might seem pretty similar to how you hear my voice now. I was speaking on the phone as a proof of life with my team. But after I was actually released, I fell apart. You know, I could barely stand. I was weeping in convulsive ways. It was a strange PTSD reaction after I was in fact safe and in the hotel.
Now, the difficulty in paying any kind of a ransom to gangs such as this is that you know in your bones that paying the money is funding their terror operation, and yet you need to get out. So the equation is trying to minimize the amount you pay to do as little damage downstream as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a massive temptation to pay big and to pay fast, and that only increases the terror. And fortunately, my team knew that and took a very long view approach to the entire process. They knew on day one, I shouldn't say day one, it took probably about 5 days to put the team together properly, but they knew early that this was going to be a 30 to 60 day process, regardless of the amount paid. And so to focus on keeping that amount as small as possible, trying to wait out the gangs, try to put pressure on them in non-monetary ways. All of those things at your disposal, you do your best to bring to bear.
Yeah. Now, the strategy that you and your team embarked upon, had that been discussed before in the event? I mean, there are so many kidnappings in Haiti by the gangs. It was something that must have been at the back of your mind that could happen to you.
It was in the back of my mind, but I would say we behaved with ignorant arrogance. I wish we would have put far more safety measures in place and anticipatory processes. We didn't. It's fairly unprecedented the amount of foreigners who are being kidnapped now. I think they've just become fearless and desperate enough to just pick up whoever they want to pick up. But there was an aura of untouchableness to Americans or foreigners in years past that I'm sure Miss Harity and I have enjoyed, but that just doesn't exist anymore. They'll take anybody because they move with impunity throughout the country.
But there was at least something that you and your security guards must have discussed at some point. When you were taken with your two security guards, they stopped speaking English, and there was a logic to why they did that.
Yeah, they knew instantly because you have to understand Haitians are deeply experienced at this entire concept of kidnapping. It's tragic that Miss Harity has been taken. It was terrifying for myself and my family that I was taken. But this happens to Haitians hundreds of times a year. That I think we're up to 600 kidnappings this year alone. Thousands over the years past. They're deeply experienced in this entire concept. So my guys knew instantly they needed to appear as impoverished as possible in order to get their ransom demands as low as possible. And so being an English speaker is instant status in Haiti. And so they both feigned not being able to speak any English immediately.
And then you tried to, or they collectively together, you tried to suggest that you were just a poor, normal, everyday aid worker without a great income that nobody really cared that much about.
Yeah, no, of course, myself and my team picked up that same shtick, right? And that's what you do for 43 days is say, sorry, that there's no money available. We've scraped every penny out of the couch cushions that we can come up with. I'm sorry, that's it. And you just say that hundreds of times to these gangs until they believe it, and they take whatever tiny offer you've given them, and $3,000, then $7,000, and $8,000, right? And you just creep it up and until they're desperate enough to take it.
Now, obviously, the option presumably discussed by your team with the American diplomatic representatives in Haiti would have been, is it time for a military rescue? Did you discuss it and discount it?
It was certainly discussed by my team. I'm former military myself. I have quite a bit of experience in security and I begged no one to do such a thing. I was surrounded by hundreds of armed soldiers that it would have been a bloodbath that perhaps would have resulted in my rescue, but I would have given it maybe a 60% chance, 50% chance of that going well, and me surviving, but certainly many would have died in the process. Just an unnecessary risk. It's far more rational for me to just sit in a concrete cell for another few weeks and just wait out these gangs for a non-dramatic ending.
And if the bullets started to fly in the event of a rescue attempt, who's to say that you would not have been among the casualties almost immediately?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Whether at the hands of the gangs or as crossfire. Yeah. There's so much danger in such a thing.
So, in the case of Gina Herity, and as I say, her case and the others abducted, including a child, has garnered international attention. You think this is a bit unfortunate? It's kind of raised the stakes a bit too much and too quickly?
Well, yes, absolutely. We've given the gangs way too much power. I mean, now the Pope has come out and made a statement in demanding her release, which is wonderful and kind. And at this point, you kind of have to go that direction, right? You can't go to the downplay. She's no one, nobody cares about her thing anymore, right? That cat's out of the bag. And so you kind of have to go the other direction and scale up as much pressure as you can to get her out as soon as possible. And the Catholic Church is a solid play. That's even better than the government play, because the churches do still have influence in Haiti. And so getting some of the Catholic churches highly involved in Haiti, that is a good play.
And the fact, the kind of work that Gina Herity was doing with children who desperately needed help because they were so disadvantaged and had disabilities and so on, that does not soften the heart of the terrorist at all.
Not even a little. No, they couldn't care less. These guys are horrific. They are committing war crimes on every level. This is sexual violence, violence against kids. They're stealing food from the mouths of anyone and everyone. They are as vicious as it gets. The fact that she works with kids is of absolutely zero impact to their choices. They're horrible, horrible.
Finally, Jeff, I should ask you about the situation in Haiti itself. I mean, it has been ever since the days of Papa Doc Duvalier. I mean, it's been a place that's been very difficult to govern. And meantime, on the other side of the island, there's stable government. It is a bit perplexing.
It is a bit perplexing, but also quite rational. I mean, you've got situations, the situation in Haiti is such that they collect one-tenth of the taxes per capita that the Dominican Republic on the other side of the island collects. So asking these officials to govern with the same sort of control and structure that Dominican Republic does with a tenth of the budget, it's just impossible to govern with that kind of budget. And then
And
on
you
the other
wouldn't
hand,
want to be going to a warlord and demanding some income tax from such a person. It's not a job
right.
I think anyone would want to be a tax collector.
Absolutely. And then you also got all of this foreign aid that flows in to drive up the population of Haiti faster than the economy can grow to support it. So that dynamic has continued for many years and does today.
So what needs to happen? I mean, do you think that an American administration, as happened before, would send the troops in to demand law and order and using the power of the military to insist upon it?
I don't expect that the American military will set foot on Haiti in the near future, but certainly the American government can support security in Haiti very quickly through other means, which have certainly been circulating in Washington, and we'll hope that those budgets will get unlocked. But there's also power in the rest of the world coming to Haiti's aid, and the EU has begun to step up in conjunction with the OAS. To bring security to Haiti. There are many, many routes to improve security in Haiti if there's a will.
Jeff Frazier, founder and executive director of Stimpak. Jeff, thank you very much for sharing your experience with us on the program today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.